Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a vocal riser for old school style drum and bass in Ableton Live 12, and we're going to make it playable with macro controls, so it feels like an instrument, not just a pile of automation. The goal here is simple. Take a short vocal chop, shape it into tension, and make it climb toward a drop with movement, attitude, and just enough grime. In DNB, especially jungle-influenced or darker roller-style tracks, the riser has to do a lot in a short amount of time. It needs to create pressure, hint at what's coming, and then get out of the way so the kick, snare, and bass can land hard. So first, pick a vocal with character. Don't overthink it. A breath, a yeah, a chopped phrase, a spoken fragment, something short and human works best. That human edge is what gives the riser its identity. If you start with something too clean or too melodic, it can lose the old-school feel really fast. Drop that sample into simpler. For a one-shot vocal, classic mode is usually the easiest place to start. Make sure warp is on, trim the start and end so you're only keeping the most useful part of the sample, and try a small transpose shift. A little lift can add urgency, and a slight downward starting point can make the rise feel even more dramatic. We're not trying to turn this into a huge melodic lead. We're just trying to make the vocal feel like it's being pulled upward into the drop. Now let's build the chain. After simpler, add EQ8, auto filter, saturator, echo, reverb, and utility. This is a very usable transition chain for DNB because it gives you tone shaping, movement, grit, space, and stereo control all in one place. Start by cleaning up the low end. High pass the vocal somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz, depending on the sample. If it's a really thick vocal, you may need to go a little higher. The important thing is to keep it out of the sub range so it doesn't fight the bass line or cloud the drums. Next, use auto filter to create the core motion. A low pass filter works really well for a rising tension build, because opening it over time feels like the sound is waking up. A band pass filter can also be great if you want a more narrow, focused, almost haunted character. For old school DNB, a filter that starts dull and opens up into brightness is a classic move. Then add a little saturator. We are not trying to destroy the vocal. Just give it enough drive to make it feel closer, more urgent, and a bit more aggressive. Even a few decibels of drive can help it cut through the break. After that, bring in echo and reverb. Use echo for rhythmic movement and a bit of old-school space. Sync delays like 1/8 dotted or 1/4 can work really nicely, depending on the tempo and the groove. Reverb should stay controlled at first. You want it to bloom as the build progresses, not wash the whole thing out from the start. Utility goes at the end so you can manage gain and width. That's important, because one of the big mistakes people make with risers in drum and bass is widening them too much too early. The center needs to stay strong enough to read clearly in the mix. The width can open up later for impact, but the core should stay focused. Now group everything into an audio effect rack. This is where the fun starts, because once the whole chain is inside a rack, you can map key movement controls to macros and play the riser like a performance instrument. A strong macro setup for this kind of riser would be something like this. Macro 1 controls the filter cutoff. This is your main rise control. Macro 2 controls resonance or pressure, so the build gets tighter and more urgent as it climbs. Macro 3 controls saturation drive, which gives you grit late in the build. Macro 4 controls reverb amount, which adds space and suspense. Macro 5 controls echo dry slash wet, which brings in movement and old school style tail. Macro 6 controls stereo width. Macro 7 controls tone shaping, like a high shelf or a mid cut in EQ8. Macro 8 controls the simpler transpose, so you can add a subtle pitch lift. The important thing is to think of the macros as performance curves, not just knobs. Don't map everything so it changes evenly across the whole range. Give the biggest emotional jump to the last part of the macro movement. That way the build feels controlled at first, then more dramatic near the drop. For example, you might want the filter to start relatively closed, then move more quickly in the final two bars. The same goes for reverb and saturation. Early on, keep it restrained. Then let the final bar open up, get brighter, get wider, and feel more unstable. That contrast is what makes the build exciting. In drum and bass, the riser works best when it grows in one area while shrinking in another. So while the filter opens, the vocal can become a little thinner in the low mids. While the delay increases, the dry signal can back off slightly. While the width grows, the center can stay focused. That kind of contrast keeps the sound evolving instead of just getting louder. Now automate the macros over four bars. Start with rise moving first. Let it open steadily from the beginning of the build. Then bring in pressure so the vocal feels like it's being squeezed tighter as it climbs. Add grit later, maybe only in the last one or two bars, so the distortion feels like a payoff rather than the starting point. Bass can swell gradually, then pull back right before the drop to create contrast. And width can open late and then collapse back down at the transition for a really strong impact. That width collapse is a great trick in DNB. If the riser gets wide and then suddenly tightens up right before the drop, the downbeat feels much bigger. Your ears notice the space becoming narrower, and then the drums and bass hit into that cleared out center. It's a small move, but it can make the drop feel huge. If you want the riser to feel even more old school, resample it. Print the processed vocal to audio, then take the tail, slice out the last half bar or last bar, and reverse it. Place that reverse swell so it lands just before the drop. That gives you a classic rewind-style tension moment that feels very at home in jungle and old-school-inspired DNB. You can also add a little extra reverb or echo to the reversed section if you want it to bloom more. But be careful. For darker rollers, the reverse tail should usually stay short and sharp. For more rave-influenced moments, you can let it open up more and feel a little more euphoric. Mixing matters here too. Keep checking that the riser isn't stepping on the drums or bass. A high-pass filter around 180 to 300 Hz is often a safe starting point. If the vocal gets too harsh, try a small dip somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if there's too much sharp air, tame the top end a little around 7 to 10 kHz. You want tension, not pain. Also, don't let the riser get too loud too early. In a dense DNB arrangement, a vocal riser often sits better when it starts slightly lower and only gets more present near the peak. That way it feels like it's pushing forward instead of sitting on top of everything the whole time. If you want more edge, layer in a second texture. You can duplicate the rack or build a parallel layer with something like drum bus, redux, corpus, or filter delay. Drum bus can add a nice push and a bit of saturation. Redux can roughen the texture just enough to make it feel more digital and gnarly. Corpus can give a short vocal fragment a metallic body that feels eerie and powerful. Just keep the extra layer underneath the main vocal, so the original identity still comes through. That's a really important point. In old-school style DNB, the listener should still hear a human fragment inside the processing. If you process it so much that nobody can tell it was a vocal anymore, you lose some of the hook. You want it transformed, not erased. Once the rack is sounding good, treat the automation like one musical gesture. Don't draw random movements all over the place. Make the performance intentional. Rise first, pressure second, grit later. Bass blooms and then snaps back. Width opens, then tightens before the drop. That's the kind of control that makes the transition feel designed rather than pasted on. A quick pro tip here. Always test the riser with the actual drum fill and drop. A riser that sounds amazing in solo can still blur the snare pickup or smear across the transition. In DNB, the relationship between the vocal build and the drums is everything. The riser should support the groove, not compete with it. If you want to push this further, try building three versions from the same vocal source. One could be more ravey, with extra echo and brighter openness. One could be tighter and darker, with less width and a shorter tail. Another could be more aggressive, with extra saturation and a slightly harsher texture. Same source, same rack, different macro shapes. That's a really efficient way to create variety across a track, without reinventing the sound every time. And that's the big takeaway here. A great old-school DNB riser is not just a sound effect. It's a controlled emotional cue. It tells the listener the drop is coming, it creates momentum, and it gives the arrangement a bit of personality. Using macros lets you perform that energy quickly, repeat it easily, and shape it differently every time. So remember the formula. Short vocal with character, clean but creative effects chain, macro-mapped movement, subtle pitch and width shifts, and just enough reverse tension to make the drop snap. Now go build one version, print it, then make it better. In drum and bass, a great transition can be the difference between a drop that lands and a drop that explodes.